Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. It's 3:47, and joining me now is Cray Van Kirk. And Cray Van Kirk, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Coming
I appreciate it.
Back into Juno. You lived here for how long did you live here?
10 years or so. I was in Sitka for about 10 years and then here for about 10 years.
And you have a pretty interesting story and journey behind becoming a working musician. Is that kind of right? I mean, you are now a full-time musician.
I'm a full-time musician.
And
I'm on the road full-time.
And that was a journey to get to that place,
I
guess.
Used to be a full-time touring musician. Okay. Back in the – I quit my graduate work first time around. I was in graduate school in Berkeley. And I quit and went off to be a musician. But because I'd grown up in the Pacific Northwest, I didn't move to Nashville or I didn't go to Los Angeles or Seattle for grunge. I moved to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, so I could go fly fishing in the afternoons, which was maybe not a good career
right.
decision. But I spent – eventually ended up spending about 4 or 5 years living in my van touring up and down the country. In those days, I was playing bars and lounges and, you know, wherever I could. Mm-hmm. I was not playing sit-down folk concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the days before the interwebs, and we were all sending out hard copy press kits to the radio stations and calling on the payphones on the side of the road. And then I ended up in Alaska for a show for the Petersburg Arts Council and Ken Fate over in Sitka at the Sitka Arts Council. And ended up – I'd been on the road for 5 years. I'd been living in the van. I was 25, so it's easy at that age. But then I the Westmark Sciatica over there offered me a 16-week summer gig, and to me that was like the promised land, regular paycheck and everything. And so I did that, and I ended up doing it for 2 summers in a row, and I kind of settled down, and I was not touring, and I didn't know quite what to do with myself. And then I ended up being a single parent, and I wasn't going to toss a little girl in the back of a car and go touring because I was not making the kind of money that I would if I'd been James Taylor, no problem.
Right,
but,
right.
So that's when I went back to school. I got a bachelor's degree again from SJ over in Sitka and came over here to do the master's and the PhD at the Juno School of Fisheries of Ocean Sciences and was just a dad, and that was my job, and that was fine. And then as my daughter got a little older, I started to go out and I'd go out 1 weekend a month and come back and do that. And especially as she got older, she was in high school, she was like, sure, Dad, go,
right.
I'm fine, leave me alone.
No,
I was like,
problem.
Wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. But then eventually, now I'm back out on the road full time.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your kind of philosophy about how you make music. What is it that you're after when you're making music, when you're working on a project? What sort of projects do you kind of get drawn to?
Well, I get drawn, unfortunately, to this wide stream of creative things for which I don't have the technical ability. I've been trying to teach myself stop motion animation because I want to shoot this music video to a new song I have that's going to be on the next CD. And that means I spend weeks sitting in front of the computer looking at computer code, which is fun.
Right.
But that means I'm not on the road. I'm not writing a new song. I'm putting all this energy into writing one song and doing the music video because I want to have this particular expression of it. And I'm not sure. I guess you just got to do what you do.
Yeah, right.
And not worry about it too much. But sometimes I sit there looking at the code going, no, go write a song. Don't worry about the stop motion animation.
Right. Is this the project, The Commander? Is that the project?
Well, The Midnight Commander is going to be the new CD.
Okay.
The Midnight Commander is a song on there. I would love to film a music video to The Midnight Commander. I think it is probably the most important song I have ever written because it concerns itself with how do we take a stance as human beings in a world that is just massive? We you know, it hasn't actually grown, but we know we are aware of the whole thing. And what the news tells us is all the bad stuff. And we wake up every day and there are some really awful things going on. So how do we make a difference? What do we do? What is that move on the chessboard that we say, this is what I do? And I think that we have become very, very discouraged. I read once that one of the reasons that Star Wars was such a phenomenal success is because the United States was starved for a black and white, good, bad hero story because after Vietnam, we were exhausted. We were morally exhausted. We had no heroes. everything had turned out to be dust and ashes. And we watched these horrible things going on over in Vietnam on the television. So I think in a lot of ways we're in the same boat, only now we have the YouTube and the Facebook and everything else showing us all the horrible things going on. So what do we do as human beings if we are not going to despair? And we have to seriously consider the possibility of despair. But if we don't choose it, what do we choose? And the Midnight Commander is actually – he is this insane old black man who lives in New York City. And every night he sneaks out of the mental institution where he is housed, clearly not a very secure institution, and he puts on his superhero costume and he goes down and he rides the New York subway, the same thing, the same train every night. And whenever he sees anybody doing something that is wrong, he jumps up and strides over to them and then says, "I am the Midnight Commander, you know, stop it."
Right.
And
no spitting.
No spitting. Whatever. Yeah.
Right, right.
Knock it off. Clean up your shoes. And so – but he's insane. And it's basically a modern retelling of Don Quixote, only it has a different ending.
Mm-hmm.
And –
well, you have your guitar here.
I'd
love for you to play either that or play whatever.
We'll do the Midnight Commander.
Yeah. Well, that'd be wonderful. I'm going to work on the mixing here.
You're going to work on the mix there? Yeah.
Okay. But you go ahead. Anytime you're ready, you go ahead.
Broken at last by despair, his futile sanity is laid waste. And knighted in his armored mind, he rides forth to heal the world. He casts aside his given name, and he takes up the mantle of the Midnight Commander. Patrolled the New York subway, the Q-train Broadway line, from 96th on down to Coney Isle. His superhero mask was red, it was a pair of underwear, with rubber boots and cape, a kitchen towel. He knew the nightly riders, and he'd call them all by name, and they made sure his nightly fare was paid. While his history was hidden, and his origins obscure, on a ragged subway seat, a New York hero he was made. If angry words were thrown against two women holding hands, or a homeless man was kicked and put to shame, if someone in a turban was pushed around and cursed, his eyes would flash and loudly he'd exclaim, he'd say, "I am the Midnight Commander. I am a flame, I'm a beacon in the night. I am the Midnight Commander. Oh, set aside your hatred, put aside your fear, for the Midnight Commander is here. Oh, the Midnight Commander is here." Now everyone he challenged, they felt his gentle power, and they'd falter in their hatred and their pain. Standing quiet, wondering at the seasons of the heart, and an old man in pajamas on the train. And the riders of the subway, the Q-train Broadway line, stood proud and tall when he would pass them by. They'd smile at one another, and they'd give a mighty cheer whenever they would hear his ringing cry, when he'd say, "I am the Midnight Commander. I am a flame, I'm a beacon in the night. I am the Midnight Commander. Set aside your hatred, put aside your fear, for the Midnight Commander is here. Oh, the Midnight Commander is here." But all good deeds are punished, and someone finally made a call to New York's Metro Clinic with a tale. And a bed check found one empty, found the window open wide, found footprints headed toward the subway rail.
And so the lords of Bedlam came, each one dressed in white, and they found him riding on his knightly fare. They called him by his given name and took away his soul and brought him back to his confused despair. But I am the Midnight Commander, he said as they gently led him off into the night. But I am the Midnight Commander who will keep them from their hatred and rescue them from fear. If the Midnight Commander's not here, if the Midnight Commander's not here. Now the New York City subway, the Q train Broadway line, gallops through the night just like before. But at 96th and 2nd, all the riders take a stand, for New York's Don Quixote was no more. And on the empty platform, as the train goes on its way, if you listen very closely, you can hear the voices say, they say, remember, remember. Don't give in to hatred, don't give in to fear. Remember, oh, remember, the Midnight Commander was here. I say the Midnight Commander was here. Well, it started in Manhattan. Here was a single burning flame. It spread to Queens, the Bronx, and Brooklyn. And Staten Island was the same. And Macy's, they ran out of red underwear. And rubber boots could simply not be found. Words were carved on the subway walls, and a thousand voices thundered with a sound. And the words said, I am the Midnight Commander. I am a flame, I'm a beacon in the night. I am the Midnight Commander. Oh, set aside your hatred, put aside your fear, for the Midnight Commander is here. Oh, the Midnight Commander is here.
Craig Van Kirk, thank you so much. That was wonderful to hear that. And fantastic. What a great and what a great inspirational message. Love that. Really wonderful.
Well, thanks. Yeah. One of the things I did a couple months ago is I printed up these T-shirts that say the Midnight Commander was here.
Very
and it's in this graffiti script I sell them at shows and stuff.
And
when people wear them, it's really cool.
Cray, we've only got about 15 seconds left.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We've got to
cut
it short. But you are playing tonight. The Jack, 7:30.
Centennial Hall.
Centennial.
In the lobby. We're doing a lobby concert.
Oh, I see. Lobby concert.
Lobby
okay.
Concert.
7 o'clock, lobby concert, Juno Arts and Humanities Council, 7:30.
And, come on out.
Come out there. Thanks for listening,
You're
everyone.
You're welcome.